things. We listen to a number of different things. During this last election cycle, at least one of the big things we heard was fake news. You remember hearing that, all about fake news? And man, we look all over the internet, we can find all sorts of fake news. You know, you look at Snopes, and then there have been some times where I've seen Snopes wasn't even accurate on this situation. I mean, it's incredible to think through some of these different websites that, man, they don't always tell the truth. Our younger generation sometimes lives with the mentality that if it's on the internet, it must be true. And teens, if it's on the internet, you've got a way that it probably isn't true, and then it might be. I was reading an article this last week. It was actually entitled Wackapedia and its Error Fest. You know, many times, at least us younger generation, if we're looking for facts about something, the website we go to is Wikipedia, right? And man, it isn't always true. Incredible to see some of that, and anybody can edit it and many of the younger generation looks at that like it's the Britannica of today, and Wikipedia really isn't. But we think about listening to all sorts of different people, different websites. What is truth? How can I know what is truth? How can I know what I need to believe? Paul lays the foundation for listening in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And specifically, as he writes this letter to this church at Corinth, he's telling them to listen. And as you and I look at this morning, we are challenged with the same truth. I must listen to God's message. Us at Man Camp this last weekend, we were challenged with that. Are you really listening to God's word? Are you listening to God's message? There are different ways we can listen to God's message. One, and we often think of it as maybe it's even the first thing that comes to your mind, is through preaching. Whether it's at church, maybe it's through teaching in the Sunday school class or another Bible study you're involved in. Maybe it's through listening to preaching on the internet. Again, be very cautious who you listen to. There's all sorts of people that just because they're a preacher doesn't mean they're preaching the truth of God's word. And so we want to be so careful, but we listen to God's message through preaching. We also listen to God's message through time alone with Him every day in His Word. Listening, as Todd shared with you, man, Pastor Jackson, he had a guy time 30 seconds. And in 30 seconds, he got through 10 verses of a chapter. And we can't even take a minute to read through a chapter of the Bible and let God kind of maybe through that direct our thinking. But so much more than just reading it. It's listening to God's message. You remember sometimes your parents would say, or maybe you will say or have said to your kids, it goes in one side and out the other, because they didn't really what? Listen. But I heard what you said, but you weren't listening. And Paul challenges this church at Corinth, listen, because this is important. He lays the foundation for the entire epistle. Again, the word epistle simply is letter. As he writes this to this church, he lays the foundation in these first few verses. Listen. Listen to God's message. The city of Corinth, it was a port city. So we think of some of our big port cities in the States, whether we think of New York or we think of Los Angeles or some of the other big ports around our country. Corinth was a port city. As we read in Acts chapter 18, there were a number of different people who populated the city of Corinth. Many people were sent out of Rome, freedmen, one level right above slaves. They were freed, but man, Rome didn't want them, so they sent them. And many of them went to Corinth. And they gathered there. Some have estimated the city of Corinth to be even up to 500,000 people. A large city. But it was a port city with many people. And being a port city, it got a lot of visitors and a lot of money. And as a port city, there were all sorts of worldly vices that became dominating in the city. The city was also known for the Isthmian Games, which were ranked just below the Olympic Games. We think of the Olympics today, and they've gone on for years in the history and that. But the Isthmian Games in that day and age were just under that. And man, this was a big thing in the city of Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, he talks about and uses the analogy of sports, of the games. It hit them where they were and where they understood. Why is it that we use illustrations in teaching and preaching? To help us understand with things that are relatable to us today. Why is it that Jesus used parables at times when he taught? Because again, it was bringing it to something they knew and understood. Well, here in this epistle, Paul does that with sports and with just some other things that we see. Because, man, the Isthmian Games were a big deal. As we talked about the vices, the many different vices, it was interesting. Vice, this is one of the authors that said this, vice and religion flourished side by side. There were all sorts of religions there. It was a big city. Man, when we were on deputation and we went to Los Angeles, it was incredible to see the number of different amounts of religions that were there. Even as we were praying specifically for the city of Glendale that needed an independent Baptist church, and they still need an independent Baptist church. Man, that city of Glendale, there was an incredible religious need, but there were so many religions there. There were so many different religious options. Man, you went for the menu, and man, it was full of all sorts of stuff that wasn't truth. And this is the city that Paul is going to at Corinth. Full of all sorts of religion. It's full of all sorts of other worldly vices. Sexuality became a huge thing in their culture. Just like it is today in America. In fact, in some ways, it may have been even more open. And we say, how can it get more open than it does in our culture with TV and internet and magazines and so much media? But such a wicked thing that it was in the Corinth culture known and what they were known for. In fact, in old Corinth, it was destroyed and rebuilt. It was, again, known for all of these sexual sins that they participated in. The word Corinthianize was actually a word that meant to act like a Corinthian. In other words, to commit fornication. Just to say someone, man, you're a Corinthian. Oh yeah, it was known for that. In America, we're known for that in so many different ways. But Paul, as he's writing to this church at Corinth, he's saying, you can live godly. You have hope. And if the church at Corinth could live godly, can't we in Munich? Can't God make a difference in America? Wow. This foundation of this city. In fact, it's been said that this was, yes, the church at Corinth. But sadly, there was much of the culture of Corinth in the church at Corinth. And as we look at our own lives, we often see much of the world in our lives. And we step away, whether it's to a man camp or ladies retreat or snow camps coming up February 1st through the 3rd for the teens and summer camp, all these opportunities. We have special speakers come in. Why do we do these things? Sometimes it's just a reality check. Whoa, how much of the world is in me? How much do I need to let God root out of me? Because it just, we breathe it. We sometimes just get desensitized to it. At summer camp, there's reasons that they ask the teenagers to leave their cell phones at home, to step aside from the culture and meet with God, to listen to God's message. And Paul is challenging this church at Corinth, you can listen to God because God has a message for you. Many have likened the city of Corinth to New York, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas. All mixed up in one. We can live godly in Munich, Michigan. Our church can make a difference in Jackson and in Ingham counties and Washtenaw and Livingston, all these that were right here. We can make a difference because we have God. But the question we ask ourselves this morning is, am I listening to God's message? Or do I just come to church because that's what I do? Or do I just read my daily devotions, whether it's that verse or that chapter or that daily bread devotional because, man, I got to brush my teeth and I got to do that. I mean, it's just part of what I do. Am I listening to God's message? He's got a message for us from His Word. Paul is challenging this city, you don't, or this church in the city, you don't have to live like the city. Again, although they were the Christian church in Corinth, an inordinate amount of Corinth was yet in them, emerging in a number of attitudes and behaviors that required radical surgery without killing the patient. That's what's been said about Corinth. As we study the book of Corinthians, let's let God do surgery on us. Let's let God do surgery on our church. Not just some of these, you should and you shouldn't, and you got to do this and you can't. There are so many practical truths we are going to hit in Corinthians. Not because I say our church needs it, because this is God's message to the church at Corinth, and we sure need it in Munich. Would you bow your heads and pray with me that God would do surgery in our hearts, not just this morning, but through this new series in Corinthians. Father, we come before you. God, we live in a wicked society. We know that. We often talk about so many of the different wicked vices that are so prominent and prevalent. But God, as we look down on some of those, we justify some others that may not seem so bad in our lives. As we look at our church, God, we beg that you make a difference. Not that we're living wicked lives, but God, we want you to do radical surgery in our hearts so that we will live, as Paul challenges this church, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, that we will do all to the glory of God. So this morning, as we look at this introduction, would you speak to us? Would you help us to be challenged to listen to your message? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 1 through 3, we see the introduction to this letter. Now, how many of you, and maybe some of you are doing this right now in English class, remember learning to write a letter, right? If you're writing a business letter, you've got to put this and this information and this address and the date and dear whomever, or the cordial greeting and or the cordial closing, and got to do it right. Or when you're writing someone that you know, man, you sometimes you try to end it with love instead of just signing your name. I mean, there's all sorts of different things as we write letters. Well, in the early day and age where Paul was writing here in the Greek culture, they always started out their letters in a very similar format. Paul was writing with the same format of the day and age. Only he did it even in a godly way. Nothing wrong with using some of the things of the culture. We use those every day. How many of you enjoy your car? Man, three of you. I will take the rest of your cars, okay? Man, I praise God for our vehicle. I mean, man, how many of you are thankful for electricity? Man, I'm thankful for natural gas. Man, there's so many blessings of our culture. In spite of, yes, much of our culture being opposed to God, there are so many blessings from our culture, from living in first world America. What a blessing. So many things today. You get to go home, and whether it's with an oven or a crock pot, or maybe you go to a restaurant because they have electricity, or I mean, whatever. We get to eat food that, man, that's warm. I like warm food. And what blessings we have in our society. Paul took some of the things from their society and culture, and man, he, 1 Corinthians 10:31, what did he do? All to the glory of God, even with his greeting of his letter. So the letters were often written, started in a format similar to this. Paul took it. And man, he just applied Christ to life. And that's what we can do in America. Now again, there were parts, and Paul is challenging this church, there are parts of life you've got to just completely get rid of. There's some radical surgery going that needed to happen in some of these lives because they had adopted too much of the culture and became too much like the culture. Jesus said and prayed in John 17 that we would be sanctified through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, as you sanctify them, don't take them out of this world. He hasn't taken us out of this world. Or you know what? He could have done that 30 whatever years ago when I got saved. I'm gone to heaven. But God has left us here for a reason. We are in our culture for a reason. Not to be like our culture. We don't win our culture by living down like them. But yet, as we were challenged in our auditorium Sunday school class today, we need relationships with them. And we do need relationships. But it's not so that they can influence me and I can be just like them to hopefully tell them enough of the truth. Because many times we see they just, what, pull us down. Because we're in a spiritual battle here. This isn't just we're trying to convince someone to buy this kind of vacuum because it works real good. This is spiritual warfare. And Paul's reminding this church here, this is not flesh and blood. Power is principality. I mean, man, there's some real battles. And so as we're part of this culture and we can use certain aspects of the culture for God's glory, there are others we must completely stay away from. Well, one of those that he uses, again, is this salutation, this greeting to this letter. And he's reminding them, number one, as he starts off this letter to this church at Corinth, we must listen because of God's authority. Listen to God's message because of God's authority over you. Verse one, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Many people were struggling with Paul's authority and leadership. In fact, we'll get into it a little bit later in this book, but seeing that, man, they struggled. Is he really an apostle? He talks about how he wasn't good at speech and fluent, and in some ways that the culture would have wanted him to be. But yet it's the weakness of man is often brings the power of God. The foolishness of the preaching of the cross to the world. And so he's challenging them, listen to me because of God's authority. Because of God's authority. Paul was an apostle, not by his own choosing. Paul went as he started this church, and we saw that in Acts 18, not because he said, looks like a good place to go. As he continued to pray, we see in Acts in another passage where, man, he was headed one way and God completely closed the door and said, you can't go over there right now. You go this way. You go to Macedonia. And in a real sense, in our lives, I'm not an apostle. In fact, I don't believe there are apostles today. We can talk about that in a number of different aspects. But in a real sense, God closed the door for our family in Los Angeles. I'm convinced of that. Not just because it didn't work out, because seeing all the things God did. Paul here, he went to Corinth to start the church because God led him there to start it. Pastor Schultz started Jerusalem Baptist Church years ago. He went around, as I'm learning different things about him, starting a number of different churches so that the truth of God's word would make a difference in that location. Man, how many of you don't know Pastor Schultz or you've never met him? Put your hand up real high because I'm in that group too. Okay, wow, there's only a couple who have and know him. Today he's the Lord in heaven. He's buried in the little cemetery over here, him and his wife. But I'm thankful for Pastor Schultz. We wouldn't have a place to meet if Pastor Schultz didn't follow God's call to plant Jerusalem Baptist Church. What a blessing. Well, then, after Paul started the church, there were other leaders. Paul didn't stay on to pastor that church. But there were others who came in. And there were some difficulties going on. I'm thankful for Pastor Bob. Man, I'm thankful for this foundation that Pastor Schultz laid. But then, man, that foundation that Pastor Bob built on, no other foundation, as Paul reminds them in 1 Corinthians 3, but Jesus Christ. That's what Pastor Bob has preached 40-some years here. What a blessing. Man, the foundation of the Word of God. So let's go on with that. Paul is challenging this church. Hey, listen because of God's authority. God clearly led. Incredible hearing Pastor Bob's testimony of how God led him here all those years ago. And yet, many of you know he grew up here, but he never thought he'd come back here. But God did it, didn't he, Pastor Bob? God has a reason for our church here. God has a reason for you as part of our church here. Let's get excited and listen to God's message because of God's authority. God's authority. Here Paul says, God has called me to be an apostle. Paul said, I'm called an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word called in verse number one is an adjective. And what does an adjective describe? It doesn't describe a verb. That's an adverb, right? An adjective describes what? A noun. Paul, he's called an apostle. This was not something he chose. He said, guys, listen, I'm not telling you this stuff. And as I'm writing this letter to you, it's not because I think you really should do this in your church. There are all sorts of people who think we should do this or that or the other in churches. But Paul says, my authority only comes from God. That's why even as pastor, as your pastor, man, my authority only comes from God. I don't want to direct our church because I like this or I don't like that. We look at God's word. And Paul says, my authority comes from God. I'm called an apostle. It's a divine vocation or job that he had. It was a calling of God on his life. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, and we don't have time to look through the entire passage, but turn there real quick. Write it down. Look at it a little later. Again, as we're going to dig into this book, we'll study this out quite some time from now. But he begins talking about the gospel. And Jesus was buried, and or he died, he was buried, he rose again, he was seen of people. Verse number 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. We came with God's authority. You believed. Because it was the truth. It was God's word. He says, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, but I am. That's God's divine calling on my life, he said. So listen. I'm giving you God's message, not just some nice ideas that might work in your culture. There are many who go around and say, if you want to build a church today, you've got to do this with your music and you got to do this with your pulpit, get rid of it, and you got to get rid of your pianos. I mean, there's all sorts of ideas for church growth. We aren't interested in a church growth. We're interested in whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God, and God will build his church. And man, it is exciting. And Paul says, listen, because it's not about ideas. It's we must be right with God. Listen, because God has his authority over us. The reality is, as much as Paul had a divine call on his life, yes, to be an apostle. And again, I believe apostles are done and over with for today. We can talk about that if you've got questions. But each of us has a divine call on our life. Just because God has called me to be your pastor doesn't make me any better than you. None at all. God has called you to the divine location and vocation that he's called you to. Are you being faithful, honoring him with that? And teens, some of you are wondering, what am I going to do in life? God's got a plan for your life. Will you listen to him now as Mr. Simmons is teaching you in your Sunday school and in your Wednesday night youth group and yes, at church on Sundays as I preach? Because as you listen and obey, God will direct and he will make it very known to you. There's the divine authority over our lives that God has. But listen, not just because of God's divine call, but because of God's divine purpose on Paul's life. He says back in verse 1, Paul called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the what? Will of God. God had a divine purpose on his life. We aren't just here because evolution teaches us we just happen to be. So like Jesus said, well, if that's the truth, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Who cares? You have a divine purpose for your life. Whether it's working on cars, whether it's serving in the library, whether it's working in the nursery, whether it's going and living life in your location, you've got a divine purpose for your life, and it's God. And when we look at our life and we say, what is my purpose? We must go back to the Word of God. As Paul said, yes, I'm called an apostle, but it's by the will of God. God's got a divine purpose for life. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, why did God call this person to do that and not this person? I've had to battle with that. God, you opened the doors and we left and we went on deputation to church plant in Los Angeles. Why'd you close the door? And yet other friends that I had as they were on deputation are involved planting churches in Los Angeles. Do you know why? Because that was not included in God's divine purpose. Deputation was for our lives, but Los Angeles at this point wasn't. Munith was. And man, we are thrilled to be here. Paul, he said, I've got a divine calling because of a divine purpose. And if we all live our life with that divine purpose, it makes such a difference. It gives us, why am I going on Monday? It makes a difference to our Monday. Oh, it's Monday. No, you've got a divine purpose in your Monday. That's a world of difference. Paul said, I had a divine purpose in coming to Corinth. I have a divine purpose as I'm writing this letter to you because God wants to be glorified in the church at Corinth. He doesn't want you to look and smell and taste like the culture around you. Listen because of God's authority over you. But then he also says, listen because of God's life change in you. Listen because of God's life change in you. Now we know that life change begins at what? Salvation. Paul says in verse number 2, he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints. There are some churches that teach that you can't be a saint until after you die and you're dead so many years and enough people vote on you to be a saint. Wait a second. Is that what the Bible teaches? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you are, again, that adjective, called a saint. Whoa. Called to live holy, loving, a holy life. He says, again, it affects the past, present, and future. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. He says, to the church of God at Corinth. This isn't your home, but you're living there. You're just a pilgrim. Don't take on too much and look too much like the world around you. Again, he's using some of the cultural things of the day, even in his greeting. What we do in life, taking part of our culture, we must do all to the glory of God. And I hope not, but by the end of this study, you might be tired of hearing, do all to the glory of God. But that's Paul's focus in this book. Chapter 10, verse 31, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. He says, listen to God's divine purpose for your life. You have been called a saint if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. He's talking about this church at Corinth. The church of who at Corinth? Of God. Did you know Jerusalem Baptist Church isn't really even our church? I really strive not to call this my church because there is no way this is my church. Many times I'll call it our church. But the reality is it's not even our church. This is God's church. And thus, we must be so careful how we act, not just in the house of God, but as God's church. This is just a church building. See, Paul didn't write to a building, did he? I'm writing to this building that you... No. The church is you and me who know Jesus as Savior. And as he's writing to them, he's challenging them and challenging their thinking. Listen, because of God's life change in you, the church belongs to God. It isn't theirs. It isn't Paul's, and he founded it. It was God's. He's challenging them in one sense not to think too highly of themselves. I mean, again, here they are in this culture. Everything's going good. We've got a lot of knowledge. We've got a lot of stuff. But he's reminding them, in spite of the stuff of the culture, you may think you've got finances and stuff. You're God's. You're not your own. In fact, he tells them that in chapter 6. You're bought with a price. The church, we're God's. Jerusalem Baptist Church, as we had a business meeting a few weeks ago, it was to take care of whose business? God's business. As we discussed the moving of the nursery upstairs, man, and as we're praying through so many different things, really, we want to just be wise stewards of the building God has entrusted to us for His glory here in Munich. And yet, that's how we function even in services and so many different things. It's all about God. Listen because of God's life change in you. This is God's church. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Again, we don't have tons of time to get into that. Turn over there. Write it down. Look through it. Again, we're going to dig through this in the future. By the way, on a side note, read the book of 1 Corinthians again and again. Just make it part of your Bible reading. Maybe that's not the passage you're going to study. You study where you're studying and do if you're doing the daily bread or whatever else. But I encourage you to get to know the book of 1 Corinthians. Because this is where God wants to speak to us on Sunday mornings for the next quite a bit of time. Get to know the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Really, verses 1 through 9, Paul is dealing with, well, you're carnal, and there's so many saying, verse 4, while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal and fighting over that? Here is the church. Nobody, at least to this day, says, well, I'm here because of Pastor Schultz. Pastor Schultz is on with the Lord. Many of the people, there are a number of the people that were there, that are either on with the Lord or moved on, and even Pastor Bob shared even shortly after, just kind of moved in a different direction. And I mean, man, it's incredible. But even as we think about it, most of you are at Jeruel not because of Pastor Josh. You were here before us. But the reality is you aren't here for Pastor Bob. And the greater reality is you aren't here because of me. Man, as much as we're excited to see you on Sundays, and man, as you leave and we try to greet and love you guys, I hate saying it was great to see you today, because I don't ever want to get the impression that you come to church because of Pastor Josh. Because if you come to church for Pastor Josh, you've got bad reasons for coming to church. You come to church because you're God's. This is where we worship Him. This is all about God. Whether it's you or me, we must all come to church because of God, what we call the church building. Listen because of God's life change in you, not just because of something you do or you've always done. You're God's. The church belongs to God. But he goes on and specifically says, you belong to God. He says, yes, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Who are sanctified? If you remember, and this was a Sunday night study. We've been going through the book of 1 John, and we talked about sanctification. And we spent a good amount of time talking about the unsaved and the saved and sanctification being put into the family of God. Well, here he's saying, if unto the sanctified in Christ Jesus, you've been set apart, you've been adopted into the family of God. You might be here and not know Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says that Jesus came because of your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, Jesus loves you. That kid's song that many of us know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Listen to God. Listen to God's message because it's from Him. He's got authority. He wants to change your life. Friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior today, don't leave until you've got that settled. Until you're confident, Jesus is my Savior. Not based on anything I do. Not based on going to church, not based on praying, but based on trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. One of us will be glad to share with you from God's Word. But as a reminder for those of us who are saved, you and I have an incredible position in Christ. And so now we must bear the character of Christ. Not the character of the United States of America. As Paul said, not the character of Corinth. You are sanctified, so now you've got to look that way. And there are a lot of practical problems this church had because they look too much like the city of Corinth yet. When you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see Jesus or do you see the world? Sometimes we wonder. We look at our lives and we say, okay, should I do this or shouldn't I? Does this make me look like the world or does this make me look like God? And granted, we don't always, again, there are parts of the world that we can take and as Christians and use, but what does it make me look like? The unsaved, ungodly, or am I set apart unto God? Paul says, you have been changed. So now you need to look that way because of your position. Not being changed to make you have that position, but because you have been changed. It makes the difference in how you live. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 23, verse 18 is our memory verse. But he goes on, that we've been sanctified, that our lives are changed into his image. You belong to God. It makes a difference, not just on Sunday mornings, but on Monday mornings and on Friday nights, on Saturdays, at school, at work. Christ's image in us. Paul says, don't look like the culture. Look like Christ because he's changed you unto them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You are a saint, so let's live like it, he says, with all that in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. He says, this isn't just for you, church at Corinth. This isn't the only way that you're to live. This is how others in every city and every church get saved. Believing on him, sanctified. And that's how all of us, whether we're in Munis or whether we think of the Segurados and their church plant going on in Spain, those believers have to live the same way we do. In the culture, but not of the culture. Paul says, listen to this message because God has authority. Listen to this message because God gives life change. We are not alone. That's why I think sometimes it's so important that we just get away. I was incredible to hear 140-some men sing. I think there were 110 men at Man Camp plus all of the Bible Institute guys that were there. Man, that was incredible to hear men's voice. That many men's voices. Man, I enjoy hearing our church sing. But Bill, isn't there something about all these men's voices singing? Man, it's incredible. And sometimes I think we just need to get away because we're reminded we're not alone in this battle for godliness. Sometimes we feel like, does anybody else care? Elijah said, no one else, God. And God says, wait a second. There are a few thousand who haven't bowed the knee. Teens. Sometimes it feels like you're all alone in your public school. Does anybody else care? Does anybody else really want to live for God? And sometimes in that sense, you might be alone in your location, but you aren't the only teen who wants to live for God and be different than your school peers. Adults, we aren't the only ones. Paul says this is good for everyone in all place who believes. Listen to God's message then. Because of the ongoing gifts to you. Verse 3. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the common ending, if you will, of the salutation of the letter of that day, it was from a similar word that we see in Greek for this word grace. But simply that word just meant greetings. Paul took this and said, grace from God. Peace. He's taken this Greek word and this Hebrew idea, shalom, peace from God. Grace to you. He spiritualized this greeting. What is grace? Someone has described it, the sum total of all God's activity toward his human creatures is found in the word grace. God's grace to us. He says grace to you. There's ongoing gifts. Yes, the grace, the gift of salvation, but yet the continued good gifts that God gives us throughout our Christian life. God gave himself in Christ for us. Not just God the Son. Jesus is God himself. That's grace. Mercy, we don't deserve it. He gave it bountifully. He's given us so much overflowing grace and peace. Not just the absence of strife, but the presence of positive blessings from God. The prosperity of the whole man, especially the spiritual prosperity of life. Paul says, will you listen to God's message? God wants to speak to you. He said, church at Corinth, God has some great things he wants to do in your lives and in your city, but you must let him work and you must listen to his message. And church, at Jeruel, I challenge us. We must listen to God's message. We must let God make a difference. So to whom are you listening? Do you spend more time listening to Fox than do you to God? Do you spend more time listening to the newspaper than listening to God's message? Do you listen to truth? Or I wonder if that's true. We have truth. God's word is truth. Let's listen to God's word, his message, not just this morning at church, not just tonight, not just Wednesday or Bible studies you may be involved with, but let's listen to God's message and our quiet time alone with God so that God can do radical surgery in our lives. As your pastor, I'm telling you, I need some radical surgery. Just as much as you do. Will you let him do it? I want God to use Jeruel Baptist Church. Paul wanted God to use the church at Corinth. But do I really listen to God's message? Or do I just go on with life? Ah, that was good, Pastor. In one sense, I don't want to hear that was a good message. Because I want God's message to be life-changing. In one sense, I don't want to hear, man, I enjoyed that message. In a sense, I don't want you to enjoy the messages I preach. I want you to have a good time at church and enjoy it, but I'm not here to preach to make you feel good. I simply want to be God's bearer of God's message so that you can please God.